I'd now like to introduce the first of tonight's speakers, Lisa.
Hello, my name's Lisa and I'm an addict.
Lisa.
I kind of wanted to say something really profound, but I just want to go like that to everybody, but it's about as profound as it's going to get. I have started this share about 50 times this week, and I keep thinking, I must tell them about that. I must tell them about when I got curtains. I must tell them about that time in the park when I knew what step three was. I must tell them, and each time I can't get past the first line. And I got here a bit early and I went and sat in Trafalgar Square on the stairs and just sort of had a few moments and just thought, I can't really rehearse it because it doesn't feel authentic. It's even though all those things did happen. I walk around most of the time, well, nearly all of the time, and I feel on tap really grateful all the time. It's not like I have to sort of think, what can I talk about for 15 minutes? Because really, I am just very, very happy. And I was just saying to Shelley, I can't sort of come and do shares that are like really sort of painful and you know, dark, because that's not what my reality is. And even when I don't feel focused and happy and positive, I kind of feel all right because I'm not using, you know, and I used for such a long time that even my bad days are fantastic days in comparison to what it was like when I was using. And so I'm really happy. I have a wonderful recovery. As I said, even in the difficult parts, it hasn't been based upon drugs. You know, I spent years being really, really in a dark place, totally enmeshed in my drug use and my drinking from a really early age. And, you know, I escaped it, and I don't forget about that. I don't ever forget about that. So, you know, if you ask me how's my recovery and ask me to do a share, I'm like, it's fantastic. Because it is fantastic, you know, and it's a great honour for me to do this share in here. Because when I got clean in 2008, I think I got clean, I stopped using heroin in the June, and then I stopped drinking in the June, and then I went to my first meeting on June the 24th. A couple of people are here that are at that meeting. And then I started coming to this meeting, and I used to sit right over at the back, and I was like coming off like methadone, and you know, I was the first person in the world that had ever come off methadone like that. It hurt me more than it ever hurt anyone else. And then I went on to Subutex, and you know, and everybody knew about it, but I just kept coming back. And as scared as I was, and I mean, I was terrified. I couldn't make eye contact. I didn't want to sit next to people doing readings because I was so horrified that people would be looking at them that they might flick their eyes over me. And I just felt like, if you look at me, I'm gonna evaporate. You know, I couldn't ever go to the toilet in a share because during a meeting, because I'd be like, people will look at me. So I used to just sit there drinking loads of coffee, thinking, I need a wee, I can't move. It was awful. It was awful. And I don't know how I did it, but I just kept coming back. And I think the best thing was that I was given the opportunity to run off whenever I wanted to. I ran away loads, but I always came back. I was all right in the meetings. It was the bit afterwards. It was the hugging, and then, do you want to come for a coffee? It was like, fuck no. But I don't think I went for a coffee till I was about 6 months. And he said 6 months pregnant. 6 months clean. And it was round in Trafalgar Square, and I had a woman on either side of me, and they said, we know you're going to try and run away, so we're not going to let you. And I was really upset. It was just like, I need to bolt, you know. But I sat there, and nothing bad happened. But it, you know what it was? It's that fear of intimacy that I hated, you know, which to me is small talk. You know, intimacy isn't sort of sex and all that sort of thing. For me, it's the sort of making conversation, making eye contact, you know, being close to people, not having to talk loads, you know, and took me a really, really long time to sort of to settle. And but I remember I used to come to this meeting and sit over at the back, and I used to look at the chairs that would be sitting up here and think, God, that looks frightening. But I would sit there and think, I am going to do that one day. I know I will sit up there and do that. And then a bit of me was like, I can't do that. And part of me, the minute I stopped using, said, you will do this, Lisa. You will do this. And I am doing it. And I think, I don't like the word God. I can't deal with it. It's like I'm an unhappy, lapsed Catholic, and I was really rebellious against the church when I was growing up. You know, I was rebellious against anything, everything. My mum, the church, but especially the church. When you're an angst-ridden teenager and you've got to go and sit in the church on a Sunday, go to a Catholic school and be taught by nuns, I hated it. I thought, what a load of bullshit. And I had a very guilty Irish family. And, you know, to me it was all like mumbo-jumbo witchcraft, and it was, you know, I didn't believe in that, you know, the original sin and all that guilty feeling. I think we're guilty enough as it is without having some divine presence going, you're damned. And I didn't like it, you know, and I still find the word God a bit difficult. And I don't really like the word higher power either, and I don't like the word defect, but that's just my stuff. But I do have a higher power or a higher consciousness, and, you know... I was talking about this the other day. When I started using, and I always had two voices that would sit on my each shoulder, and one would say, just do it, go and do it, go and use. And the other one would be like, I don't want to do it, or I don't want to do that next bit. And quite often that other voice would keep me safe, and I think because I had that voice and it was quite strong for a really long time, I didn't die and I didn't get into more trouble than I did. And I mean, probably because that voice kept me kind of safe, that's why I used for 26 years, because it took me a really, really long time to unravel, and it was very painful towards the end. And when I say towards the end of my using was like rock bottom, was about 10 years before I stopped. So, you know, I had a really bad day, and it stayed one long bad day for the next 10 years. But the thing is, with that voice, it went on and on and on and on. And, it, you know, I was thinking about this earlier. I was thinking, when I think about my past, and if I think about, I look at photographs of me in the past, and it's always overshadowed by that sort of like, oh, God, I was so awful and I was so unhappy. I wasn't, you know. I liked using drugs. I didn't use drugs every single day when I was younger. I did a lot of partying. I loved to party. I loved dancing. I was very much involved in the free party scene. You know, and if anyone else, I'm sure there's plenty of people in here that were as well, that was some kind of freedom to be discovered in those fields taking pills. It was just like, you know, it was something that transcended, I think, the drugs. It was just that kind of being together and being outside and dancing. And, you know, it was something that I really loved. And I'm very glad that I was involved in that. But so that part of it I really liked. You know, I really liked using heroin because it when I first used it, it made me violently sick. I mean, it nearly always made me sick, apart from when it didn't make me sick. It made me sick when I didn't have it, but I was like a professional vomiter. You know, I could quickly open the car window and go, out the window, and they'd be like, have you just been sick? And it'd be like, that was ages ago. And I could be sick in crisp packets, you know, I could be like sick behind things. I could projectile vomit perfectly. It would just, if I knew you had it in your pocket, I'd just go, you know, without even knowing I was going to do it. It was such a, and I reckon now, God, I've said God, please, that thing up there, don't, that I ever, never have to come across that, but I think if it was in front of me now, I'd probably be sick. Just the thought of it just makes me go, ooh. But it took me a long time to master taking heroin, and by God, I got there in the end, and I was really rather good at it. But you know what, the thing is, I remember taking heroin and thinking, I can do this. I'm getting quite good at this. I could not make a tube. I couldn't get it together to use drugs without having to have someone do it for me. And can you buy it while you're at it? It was like that for a very long time. And I just remember mastering, because, you know, I don't want to talk about that stuff, but, you know, making a tube, I could never work out which way it was supposed to go around. So all the stuff you used to get caught on the wrong way, and everyone would be like, Lisa, you're useless. But I just remember when I could do it by myself, and I remember when I could score by myself and use on my own. It was like, I felt like I am rocking this. I'm an independent woman and I can use on my own. Don't have to share it. Don't have to, you know, and I really felt like that. And it was like, and it was a bit like, okay, I'm going to go and buy it by myself, pay for it with my own money that I've earned, and, you know, and make it last. And it was all like, you know, and that really, you know, and you think, I was mental, you know, and you think, yeah, I'm really sorting myself out doing this. But I liked it, you know. It kind of, I'm a chronic alcoholic. I'm an addict in all ways. But I am an alcoholic and an addict. And then I loved drinking as much as I loved taking heroin. The two things were like wrapped around each other like a figure of eight, but they were both extremely separate from each other. Heroin kind of numbed me, made everything quite bearable and easy, made me very talkative and made me quite calm. And, you know, and you just don't give a shit when just that nice feeling of like, oh. Whereas alcohol lit me up like a Christmas tree. And I used to say, I don't care if I'm an alcoholic because I love drinking. And I couldn't see that. I thought if you had a problem with it, you had to dislike it. And for many, many years, I didn't dislike it. But as I said, I used for 26 years. I had that voice in my head, the one that used to say, don't do it. But I also had the other voice going, it's okay because you're okay. And, you know, like all the sort of illogical bullshit you feed yourself. And I think that's what made my using go on and on and on and on for such a long time. And when I did stop using, I was in a really dark place. You know, I had been very outgoing and gregarious and vivacious, and I always worked. And I've got a son that I had when I was about 18. I kind of was estranged from my big sisters and my son. I lived in the corner of my bedroom. I had a quilt cover over the window. I had no sheets. I don't know about no sheets on the bed. There was no sheets. But, you know, when you sleep on a bare mattress and the stringy bits get caught between your toes, it was like that. And I had this really strange pulley system for getting the quilt cover up on the window. I mean, I should have just put curtains up. But that's how I ended up. And I wouldn't go out in the daytime because I might see people, not even people I knew, but people, and they might look at me. And it was back to that thing again of, like, I cannot. People could see my soul, and I felt diseased. You know, I felt rotten. My self-hatred was beyond comprehension. It was horrible. And I had tried to go into NA many, many years ago, and I hated it. I thought I would walk in, the solution would be there, and I'd just stop. And it was like, what? You know, I was like, you just talk. You know, and you just sort of think, you've got to give me something. But I went back to meetings. As I said, I did my detox in the rooms. I didn't sleep for about 14 weeks. I was just astounded that a human being can go for 14 weeks without sleep. And I just did. I'd sort of have about 20 minutes in the morning, and then I'd go to this day programme. I just did loads and loads of meetings. People really loved me till I could love myself. I truly believe that, you know. And I've got so many friends in here tonight, and so many people, like Sally. Remember Sally saying to me it was okay to be inappropriate for about 18 months, and I was. I just laughed at everything long and loud with her. You know, there's Jay sitting in front of me that was at my key worker. Frank with me on my first day clean, going, it's going to be all right. And I was just like, I'm not so sure. But the minute I stopped using, and I don't mean the methadone and stuff, because the minute I put down the Class A's and the alcohol, I knew that tiny voice of hope came back. And the thing is, to take the heroin away and the alcohol, there wasn't that kind of craving that made it so horrible to come off all that stuff, because it was, I'd removed it, you know. But, you know, I now live the life that I think I was supposed to live. You know, I'm unhindered by it. I'm not frightened. I'm really, really happy. I've got a new job starting on Monday to go with the job I've already got, so now I'm going to have two jobs. I don't quite know how that's going to work. I just sort of go, yeah, I'll do it. We'll see how that works. And I've been working part-time for 2 years. I'm going full-time on Monday. It's going to kill me. But I've got, you know, I've still got my flat. I nearly lost my flat through not paying my rent. You know, I have curtains. The thing I was going to say about the curtains, I remember getting curtains in recovery, and it was like, you know, when gold was first discovered, or, you know, like, I just remember, because I painted all my flat white because it was so shabby, I painted everything white, and I came out of treatment and I just was blinded. It was so bright and there was no curtains, and I'd wake up in the morning like a vampire just going, Jesus Christ, it's so bright. And I got these curtains and I used to just open them and shut them all day. I'd be like, wow, look, shut them. And honestly, that was one of the highlights of my recovery. It's the little simple things like that that have just made it so amazing. And waking up, going to sleep at night and not being frightened about what happened, might happen the next day, or not being able to sleep. That was my biggest fear, like the insomnia used to cripple me. And quite often I don't sleep, and it's like, you know what? I'll sleep the next night. It's nothing bad is going to happen. And if something bad does happen, it's not, I'm going to take it in my stride, you know. I've got people around me that would help me with that. But as I said, I'm really happy. It's just simple. It's so simple. Life without drugs, without being an addict and that obsessive compulsive, a million thoughts a minute are out about using. When that goes, it's just like, oh, I can hear myself breathing and I can be quiet and you know, just be happy. It's really so simple. But it's lovely to be here, and thank you for asking me. Thank you.